Hello, sports fans. It's a Thursday edition of Not For Nothing. Chris is on the phone with Chris.
Hello.
We're doing a show.
We're doing a show. We got a show. We're
talking sports.
My apology for the bad audio. I hope everyone will be okay with it.
Yeah, you're just going to have to keep apologizing every week, Chris.
I can't get into it right now. Hey, Chris, before we get too deep into sports.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you noticed, but like Pearl Jam has a new record.
I heard.
Yeah. So, and they're going back and forth with various people about Pearl Jam in general. Lots of Pearl Jam sympathizers out there.
Okay.
A lot more Pearl Jam fans that I've talked to than I thought.
Oh, really?
Possible. Yeah. And I have my own theories on Pearl Jam, which I don't need to bore this podcast with.
You mean hate on Pearl Jam?
The new record is atrocious.
Oh.
And so boring and bad. And I tried my best because I heard them. They're on the Bill Simmons podcast. And I was like, these grandpas are very boring and creaky and smacky, and have they ever given an interview ever? And Eddie Vedder comes across as either an idiot or super aloof, or
I think he's super aloof. I think,
yeah,
he's always sounded like
almost
that.
To like a I'm trying to be so aloof. I'm an artist, you know, and good for him. He is, you know, he made it work. But I was like, oh well, let me at least listen to this record. And I tried with an open mind, but it is, I get like every song. And I'm like, this was a band that used to make, I think, good music.
Oh, I didn't think you were a fan of Pearl Jam. So I'm a little surprised.
I'm not a fan of Pearl Jam, but that did make me go back and listen to some Pearl Jam. And like, as a middle-aged man, like Vitalogy definitely hits different. Mm. Like it's a banger. Mm-hmm. Like I'm like, every song is a jam.
Yeah.
And so you go from like the new thing to that thing, and you're like, well, this band is terrible and they should break up. But I think that the point of Pearl Jam is that they don't break up. Like, that's the entire point.
Yeah, they're the new Stones.
They're just the band that's like, yeah, they're like, our focus is longevity, and we have a big enough catalog where we're going to play songs that you love. Like, the fan base is there. So as long as they can, like, stay together, stay healthy, and go on tour every 2 years with some other heap of shit record, that's fine for them. And that is very Stonesy.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Totally. Yeah. And I think I respect it because I think they all know now that they can't leave each other at this point. Like if they do, they're all irrelevant and fucked.
But I think that they built this so that they couldn't. Like what I learned was that they used to have good drummers. And then they were like, sorry, good drummers, you can't be in the band. One guy was too drunk and the other guy was like too cool.
Mm.
They were like, oh, Stone Gossard didn't get along with him because he was too into the lifestyle of girls and having fun playing rock and roll.
Right.
So then they just found another lame so that they could just be lame together and just be a band, be a business, you know?
Yeah,
so
totally.
I think that's their thing. And I've never seen them live, and I'm sure it's great. Like, they're basically a jam band at this point. They have such a monster following, and they do different versions of their song. I don't really care, but...
Yeah.
You're a Seattleite.
Mm-hmm.
What's your relationship with PJ?
I've seen him in concert before.
Okay.
With only because of the girl I was dating at the time.
Here we go again.
Probably
doing
early.
Doing mushrooms.
Yeah. Probably.
I have a chapstick container.
I don't think we were doing mushrooms on this one.
Okay.
Same girlfriend, right. Though. Same girlfriend.
Okay.
I enjoyed them. I enjoyed them live to see him in concert. It was kind of, you know, because it was kind of cool.
Who did they play with?
I don't remember. Like it was at the Key Arena. You know, it was like the Sonics Arena kind of thing back in the day. I don't remember. Like I wasn't totally in. I was never totally into him. I agree with you on Vitalogy. That was. I think that was probably always my favorite one, and I felt like even back then I always liked all of their songs on that album.
Yeah, I never listened to it till recently, and it was very good.
Yeah, and I feel like everything before that I was like, yeah, this is fine, I'll listen to it. It's kind of like Nirvana, you know, like, yeah, this is great. It's just not my thing, but I I wouldn't like plug my ears at it ever. But Vitalogy was like, I think I bought that record.
Yeah.
Or that album. And then after that, it was sort of like, beh, I don't really care anymore again.
Yeah, I don't think anybody did.
Yeah. Like, I just...
they're definitely like a band that's like, our first three records are our best records. Then you can like fight over which of our last records is number four or five or six or seven or eight or nine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 10, 11, 12. There was, I remember there was one more song they did. It was, I don't know if it was what album it was on. It was probably like at least 10, maybe even, well, goddamn, even 15 years ago now, maybe. But I think it was like a cover of something, but it was like something about like the, like his wife or something like died in an accident.
Yeah, yeah. That is a Last Kiss.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
That was on a compilation for like it's like starving people in Yemen or something. Okay. That's their number one selling song of all time.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So I like that song.
That came out. They still had the old drummer. That's Vitalogy era.
Okay. Just after.
Yeah. That's before they got the lame drummer from Soundgarden.
Yeah, yeah.
So even that cover still falls under the, like, when Pearl Jam was acceptable.
Right.
We're making something exciting. Like, I won't even go that far. I was like, exciting. Like, there's just nothing exciting. And I don't blame them. Like, I haven't done anything exciting in my 40s. You know, like, I'm not being very, there's not a lot of ingenuity. But, like, they have all the resources. And it's like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is just.
They feel, you know what they feel very like U2-ish.
Yeah,
you know, like they were like, oh, you know what U2's doing U2 here? I didn't either.
No U2 that I'm gonna be like, oh, I forgot how good Joshua Tree is.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, that's not gonna happen for me.
Right, but I feel like they sort of took U2's blueprint, because like even Eddie Vedder is sort of like a, I don't want to say like a philanthropist necessarily, but he
an activist.
Yeah, there you go. Maybe an activist more so. But they're also sort of making just sort of. I don't know if they're really as doing that as wholeheartedly as they used to. Even, you know, like, I don't see Bono out and about anymore. You know,
their big thing is like, they're also like a sports band. Like, they're very sports adjacent.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
Eddie Vedder's always at baseball games.
Yeah,
Jeff Ament like famously has like basketball court. Everyone's played basketball. Everyone in the state of Montana has played basketball with Jeff Ament or been to his house. Literally everyone.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. There's not a person that that lives in Montana that doesn't have a story about how they've know Jeff Ament or played with him or built a fucking toilet in his house or whatever. They're just, I don't know, man. I just was wondering what you thought. It sounds like you're sort of like, you're kind of like have the same, you're not going to flip the channel, but you're not seeking it out.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Yeah.
I will say this, go back and listen to Vitalogy, maybe after this podcast. It's a real toe tapper.
I will. Yeah, it's right. It's been a while since I've listened to it, but it's always one.
And it's funny to listen to it against what they just made and be like, I know you guys aren't trying to make the exact same thing. And like, I get it, like Radiohead, they don't make the exact same thing, but they're not. This version of whatever this is, like, no one wants this music. Like, if you asked a guy from Pearl Jam, do you want to listen to this music? It's Candlebox. They'd be like, no, this sucks. But it's there. They can't get out. They can't. They're like, no, this is terrible.
Dude, don't
this
fuck with my Candlebox, man.
That's what I'm saying. I just assume Pearl Jam and Candlebox don't get along.
Actually, they might. I don't know. Who knows? They probably toured together at one point.
I doubt it.
No?
No. I mean, Candlebox is great, in my opinion. I love them.
Are they? I mean, I just know the one song.
That's all anybody knows. I mean, I know every song off that one record, because I was like, this is my, I don't know. Don't worry about it. I've always, like, wondered if, like, going to see Candlebox would be fun. You know, like, they play, you see them on, like, they're playing in Jersey sometimes. You're like, well, Candlebox, I don't know what they're up to.
Oh, mm-hmm. We should go then.
Yeah, I might be depressing though.
Sure, but it just, you know, whatever. Who cares?
You just want to hear
sort of.
Yeah, yeah. You want to hear Far Behind?
Yeah.
Me too.
Oh, that's right. They got more than one song, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right.
They had like two.
So that's the whole. That was both out the same album.
No, it's a one record, I think.
Hmm.
I mean, whatever. So Pearl Jam. Pearl Jam aside, I did want to say one thing quickly. We had a recent and sad passing of a production and a sound engineer, great Steve Albini, yesterday. So, and also world World Series of Poker bracelet winner, Steve Albini, who's one that made some of the most seminal records of that generation. When Pearl Jam was making things, Steve Albini was also making things. Most notably, famously, In Utero, probably by Nirvana, but also like hundreds and hundreds of other bands and records. He basically would do anything. Like if you paid him, he would make it. So lots of, even Craig McNary had a record done by Steve Albini, but he died suddenly of a heart attack yesterday. And it was a real bummer because he was a legend, and probably will now. Yeah. I don't know. He'll get all the flowers he never got when he was alive.
Mm, okay. Fair enough.
Good listen if you want. There is a good podcast. Conan O'Brien did an interview with him and Dave Grohl and Chris Novoselic talking about making a In Utero. That's pretty fantastic.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I saw him once doing,
it was a 4-person interview, and I'll leave it at this. This is like my favorite Steve Albini memory. For the New Yorker Festival, he did it was a terrible panel. It was Rick Ocasek, Steve Albini, the RZA, and Ani DeFranco with like Nathan Englander or somebody talking about how like production, you know? And Rick Ocasek was unbearable and just didn't want to be there. Ani DeFranco was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I just have a record label. And then the RZA and Steve Albini geeking out about like tape. Like just recording tape, because Albini always recorded to tape, not digitally.
Oh, cool.
And RZA just couldn't wrap his brain around it, and they didn't know each other, and they just like nerded out about recording techniques for an hour, and it was kind of amazing, magical, like mistake.
I bet they became like best friends after that too. Like they
possibly Steve Albini's pretty prickly guy. So is the RZA, but they definitely kept in touch. I know that, like, I'm sure RZA and Albini worked together at some point down the road. So it was kind of a cool moment.
That is cool.
So rest in peace, Steve, or rest in fucking whatever. Rest in aggression, Steve Albini. Whatever. I hope you're mad at something somewhere. Steve Albini owned a recording studio in Chicago. He's famously like in the band Shellac and Big Black and whatever. We had this recording studio, and I had a roommate in college, Greg Norman. And Greg Norman,
the golfer?
We didn't get along that great. No, different Greg Norman. But Greg Norman, one day just called up the number on a Shellac record and called the office and was like, "Hey, are you guys taking any job interns or whatever?" And they were like, "Yeah, come in. You can mop floors for the summer." And he never came back to college. And he's now one of the number one engineers, still with Steve Albini. Probably is going to be running his studio now that Steve Albini's dead.
Oh shit!
This is all based on like a phone call, like our chance phone call. He just took a chance, called the number on a CD, and now Greg Norman has mixed hundreds and hundreds of records.
That's amazing.
Pretty cool. So that's a little DIY DIY story for you. Okay. That's it, though. That's all I got on that.
You sure?
Just it was worth talking about. Yeah, I'm sure. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely worth talking about. I have no idea who he is.
Okay. Well, you.
Well, now
you
I know. Would. Now
he made Trompe Le Monde, the Pixies record.
Okay.
He made In Utero. He made Bush's second record. He did Polly Jean Harvey, PJ Harvey, one of her bigger records. Those are to name a few. He did a ton of Silkworm, a lot of like those touch and go, you don't know what I'm talking about, but like Thrill Jockey, like Chicago sound records, math rock, if you will.
Math rock?
Don't worry about it. I knew I was treading into waters you wouldn't understand. It's fine. Let's move on.
All right.
Let's talk about sports.
Great.
Or what, something sports adjacent. If you want, unless you wanted to. You hear me yammer on more about
No, we can cut this off. 90s. We can okay, definitely great. Cut this off here
great.
Quickly.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Chris, I want to we can sort of ease into sports and somewhat related to with gambling. I think we found the tipping point with gambling. Like we've gone too far with gambling now.
Why is that?
And it's because you can now gamble at Dave and Buster's.
Oh.
On their games. So
wait,
like
you can get on the games that are fixed?
No, so like well, yeah, I guess. I don't know. Like so like Skee Ball or Papa Shot, you can actually like make a wager, like I guess between you and your friend about like who's gonna win a Papa Shot.
But you could do that anyway.
Yeah, but now you can actually do it like within the confines of the actual like establishment.
Is this true? Because this sounds amazing.
No, this
but
is
also super dangerous.
Super stupid and dangerous. Like people, there's gonna be a lot of fights going on at Dave and Buster's now, I feel like.
Well, I mean, there probably already was. And also, who's going to Dave and Buster's besides parents? Like, you think people are just going to Dave and Buster's?
Kids? Just kids.
Just kids. Kids should be betting. This is what you're saying is this is a gateway drug for kids.
Yes. I mean, I think so.
I don't understand how it works.
I don't either, but it just sounds stupid.
I'm not going to stick my nose up in the air just yet.
No, you can't just.
I think a not for nothing field trip to Dave and Buster's before we start making any judgments.
Okay.
We'll see how fun it could be.
Or how just stupid it is. I have a feeling that it's just going to be like, hey, like here, let's put a dollar wager or $5 wager on this thing. But like it becomes sort of like a, there's sort of like an electronic thing like attached to
the money. Like, do you just have to then cash your wager in with and get like silly string or whatever?
I think that's what, yeah, you probably just get like tickets or other like coins or whatever.
Yeah, I don't want their trash.
Right. So I think that's the stupidity of it. Like,
yeah,
they're just trying to cash in.
Buy more of this trash.
They're just trying to cash in on this sort of, on this gambling, you know, thing.
Yeah.
You know, that, and they're just trying to like, how do we make more money? Let's let all these people sort of gamble on like, and I think also on like their video games and stuff too, it sounded like what I was reading. Like, it's really weird and stupid. And I just think it's like, we're taking this too far. Like, yeah. Not everybody has to have sort of a gambling angle to everything now.
You know what should have a gambling angle though? Mm. Pinball. Because that game is fucking boring. And if there was gambling, it might make
I don't think it'll make it more interesting.
Really?
No. I think it'll like just make people even more mad because then they're like, I fucking $5 and I still lost.
Yeah, you're probably right. I don't know. I think we should try it out. But I think that is a dumb technical point. Do you want to know something I thought about gambling that might be like a tipping point or something I think is a bit of a conflict of interest or maybe even... No one's really explored this.
The whole fucking industry?
So you know how the like some teams, if the team misses... The opposing team misses two free throws. Mm-hmm. This is in basketball.
Yeah.
Then everybody gets chicken.
Yeah.
Right. So there's a monetary value to that. There's, let's say, 15,000 people in the building.
Yep.
A chicken sandwich is $15,000, right, from Chick-fil-A.
Sure.
Right. So there's a monetary value. There's cash exchanging hands that is based on your involuntary or involuntary. You're part of this rooting interest in somebody shaving points. And it's not really been something to consider until Boban recently missed two free throws intentionally to give the fans free chicken, which in a way is Boban being paid to shave points. It affected the ultimate outcome of the game because of this quote unquote wager that is allowed in sports. I know it sounds fishy, it doesn't have a lot of legs to stand on, but why isn't it being considered? It still is point shaving that affected the outcome of the game.
I think that's a huge stretch there.
It's a stretch, yes, but it's not a huge stretch.
No, it's a huge stretch.
It's within the confines. It's a company that's enticing a team to miss or to make actually free throws.
Yeah, they don't want you to miss them.
Yeah, but I think they do want you to miss them because they just want you to come in and get fries too. No one's just getting a chicken sandwich, you know?
I would. I'm like that. I would just be like, all right, I just want my free thing and I'm out of here.
I wouldn't even get any of it.
Hold on, but first of all, the other thing of this directly to your point about Boban is that he didn't intentionally miss the first one. I was watching this. I remember seeing this. He missed the first one, you know, just by luck or accident or whatever you want to call it, like because he's a bad free throw shooter. But then he was like, all right, since I missed the first one, I'm just going to miss the second one so that all the arena can get free chicken because he's a man of the people, Chris.
Yeah, but he's also a point shaver.
No, that's not point shaving.
He shaved points.
No, that's not, no.
He missed on purpose.
No. People miss three free throws all the time on purpose.
Yeah, but not for money.
Well,
This has a monetary context. I understand people miss shots. That's part of basketball. Like, right. I mean, missing a free throw.
This also didn't affect the out. I don't think this affected the outcome of the game. I doubt it even affected the points spread. Do you know that for a fact?
Ultimately affected the gambling line.
Do you know that for a fact?
Yes. The line was altered.
I think you're altered.
What are you talking about? I don't understand why I don't have a leg to stand on here. You don't think that this is...
No. I think it's like one of those things where, like, you know, the guy makes a, you know, a half court shot, you know, in the halftime or something, and he's supposed to win.
But
like,
those points don't count.
No. Hold on.
The game.
What I'm saying is that he misses it or he makes it, and he's supposed to get like $50,000. But then, like, State Farm comes up and or like Dr. Pepper, whoever it is like, whoa, there's a technicality there. We don't have to give you the fucking money. And I think that's sort of the same point with like these promotions of like giving away free chicken and stuff. Like it's just stupid. And like, there's nothing more to
it. Okay, I see what you're saying. Also, I've heard that they don't always honor the chicken thing. Like, I was on Reddit looking this up, and a lot of times they have limited amounts of vouchers.
Yeah.
Like, they only have like 3,000.
Yep.
So they just give them to the first 3,000. It's not actually everyone.
Right.
It's the first 3,000 people that like leave the stadium.
Right. Right. See,
so there's always a fucking
right. So
nonetheless, technically, point shaving.
Now listen, if this becomes like
for a profit.
Now if like next season there's like 20.
Everyone's doing it.
If everyone starts doing it, all right, then maybe. But I don't know I still don't know what the conspiracy theory would be, because if the guys are trying to, they're basically trying to fuck over the corporations who are doing promotions.
Yeah, for sure. But let's say the DraftKings has a line like -6.
Well, that's not
Clippers and whatever. And then that changes the line. And then people are out millions of dollars that bet that line that got affected by somebody trying to get the fans chicken. Then you have a real conflict of interest.
Yeah, to some degree. Yeah, but then they'll stop doing that, or they'll adjust or move the line.
I mean, I just want them to get rid of the chicken thing altogether. Okay. But like,
they also might like DraftKings might also do something like, hey, listen, we know this was affected by the line, so we're going to refund you your money or do something or whatever too. Like, they might do that.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Well, hope it never comes to that.
Hopefully,
also,
Chris.
It used to be just Philly did it for a Frosty. It was like for a free Frosty for years and years and years. Then Chick-fil-A caught on and started doing it all over the place. Mm. And they bought Philly out. Like, they bought everybody out. Like, these weird Christian chickens.
Fuck.
Like, took away. Who wants a? I would go get a free Frosty for sure. I would walk in and be like, one free Frosty, please. But I'm not going to walk in and get one free chicken sandwich. It's just not worth it.
Nah. I don't even like fucking whatever it's called.
But I do like Frosties.
Mm.
You don't like Frosties?
No, I don't like Frosties either. I want a fucking milkshake then. I don't want a fucking Frosty. I want a milkshake.
Well, I like how the Frosty is like a half between a milkshake and ice cream. Yeah. Doesn't make any sense. You are like my son. He is ultimately frustrated by them. He does not get what the fucking point is.
No, it's always like chocolate too. I don't like chocolate.
Well,
flavor,
now so. They have a creamsicle one. And that's what I've been really wanting, this creamsicle Frosty. Hmm. By Wendy's. This is good. Wendy's is, you know, Wendy's is my top five.
I know.
We've done this before. We've done this before.
We used to.
My top five hasn't wavered. And we Wendy's
to,
is going to stay in there.
We used to eat. We used to go to Wendy's a lot, I think, when it was like, didn't we? I feel like we did when we were for River to River together.
Yeah.
They had like the dollar cheeseburgers or whatever the special
was.
Yeah,
junior bacon.
Yeah,
down
bacon.
At the Seaport.
Right. Yep. Yep.
Man.
I get it.
The glory days. Hmm. Anyway, Chris, okay, so what else is on your list of your list of to-dos?
Mm, let's move into
Can I quickly on gambling?
Sure.
If we're going to move away from gambling, but if not, you can get, I think this is a weird overreaction, and maybe this will jumpstart a conversation about the playoffs in general, but like right now, the Nuggets are +800 to win the conference, +1600 to win the championship, where 2 games ago, mm-hmm. they were the front runner.
Yeah.
And they've lost 2 games, but it's the fucking Nuggets and the league is fixed. And I feel like +800 to win the conference at least is worth taking a fucking waiver on.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, how could you
plus not? +800. That's gorgeous money. Yeah. And +1600 is even worth a shot too.
Yeah.
Well, and then if they lose, great. Win-win. You hedged the worst team to the one of the more annoying teams in basketball.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's the T-Wolves now for those?
+340
Okay.
They're the second runner there. I mean, it's all Celtics right now.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Yeah. I mean, OKC's, I think it's a good...
sneaky little thing in there, but I'm staying away from it. I don't understand that team at all. But I think this is a weird gambling overreaction.
It's an overreaction. I don't think it's a huge overreaction though either.
Drop them to the worst odds in all of the West.
Below Mavericks?
Below the Mavericks, dude. The Mavericks are +450
No, like I mean, I can even see him being under OKC a little bit. I could see the argument there potentially.
Yeah, me too. Well, the OKC has one win and they have two losses, so that just there's your argument. But
right.
To me, I mean, I'm not. Am I crazy to think that like the team that has the MVP on it, that the reigning champion, will start getting a couple whistles here and there?
Yeah, I mean, they were at home both those games.
I know,
weren't
this
they?
Is true.
They were. Yeah. So like, there's just something about the youth and athleticism of OKC and Minnesota that, you know, is just kind of giving.
I agree. Watching both of those, I didn't watch the OKC game, but watching that Minnesota game, I was like, this is just an unstoppable force.
Yeah. I mean, the energy that they have and display and keep up for a full game and just hounding and abusing the guys. I mean, that's just mentally fucked. Denver's kind of mentally fucked almost, I think. Like, I honestly don't know.
But they don't have any dogs.
Yeah.
They're missing dogs. They have Aaron Gordon, and that's the only dog.
Yeah.
Jokic isn't a dog.
No, no.
He also doesn't play defense, and that is an issue.
Well, that's always been an issue, but no one's been able to sort of overcome that,
Minnesota. If they don't have it, yeah, it's weird. Like, they also don't have, I think, who's their backup center? Like, DeAndre Jordan?
Maybe.
Like, it's a team that, like, this was always the problem.
Yeah.
But no one could ever do anything about Jokic just scoring at will. And now that Jokic can't score at will, it's kind of a bit of a different story. But I don't know anything about anything. I think that Denver still has a chance. And +800 just to make the finals?
Sure. It's not a bad bet. It's a good bet. It's a smart bet. You never know, but it seems like they're pretty much done. Like, I'm not...
Don't trust that this isn't going to go fucking seven games at least.
Yeah, I mean, I could see Denver, you know, getting one here, potentially.
They'll definitely get one.
Yeah, I don't know,
maybe,
man.
Not, maybe
I don't
not.
Know.
I also placed a funny bet. I placed a +50,000 that the Timberwolves would sweep the entire fo.
That's amazing.
It's still winning.
It's a great bet.
Thank you.
Yeah. I like that one too, actually.
It's fun to watch.
Yeah.
It's like $10 pays $5,000, you know?
Honestly, looking forward, you know, if Minnesota or even OKC goes against Boston, they're both great matchups because both of them have They both have depth.
Just get Boston out of the East. Like, can we just wrap up the East? Let's wrap it up.
You gotta play the games, Chris. You never know what's gonna happen down the line here.
That's the Knicks chant. Didn't you know that?
Oh, of course it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's also
fucking
the
stadium
Heat
in the country.
Chant,
yeah.
And the Spurs chant,
right.
And
the whole world.
The Baltimore
chant.
Ravens chant and Penn State chant. But also the Knicks, man.
Yeah. Yeah. They're the originators.
I would expect more from a city than biting a rival's chant. But hey, you know, more power to you. I heard a guy in the elevator today who went to the game last night say, "Can you believe that OG guy is so good?" And I was like, "Yep, that's a Knicks fan for you." Easy come, easy go.
I honestly don't know how they're doing this I mean, they're missing.
They're going to be dead. Tom Thibodeau is Joakim knowing them all off out of the world.
Yeah.
They're going to be dead.
I know.
They will all be dead. They're not going to last. They can't last with.
If they
blame everybody for these injuries. Like, that OG injury was a total, like, that he's played too many minutes. Like, Brunson's dick falling off. He's playing too many minutes. It's so many minutes his dick fell off. He just lost his dick for a whole quarter.
That's going to be the shame of the Eastern Conference playoffs, is that if the Knicks
they're not going to have, they're going to be limping in.
Right,
fucking,
and then they're going to get swept by Boston, and it's just going to look so sad and bad when they could have probably given them a pretty good run if they were healthy.
I mean, this is three of their... when I was making the argument before, as you astutely pointed out, early in the season that like their bench was potentially better than their starters, it was Hartenstein, it was DiVincenzo, it was Josh Hart. Those were the three guys. And I was like, with Brunson, it's a better lineup than Mitchell Robinson and fucking Julius Randle. But now that they're forced to do that and it is better, you're welcome, Tom Thibodeau, they don't have any... Like, then what? Like, then it's Precious and...
Alex Burke
and fucking... And the other Toppin. He refuses to play Jericho Sims, which is insane to me. Like, I just don't, like, they better fucking sweep the Pacers because they need fucking, they have to, like, have as least amount of games possible. Tibbs is just going to run this team into the ground. He's just driving in first gear at 80 miles an hour, just in first.
Yeah.
Uphill.
I mean,
they interview him at the third quarter. They're like, so OG just basically blew out his hamstring. What do you think? He's like, next guy up. I was like, whoa, bro.
I mean, maybe put Shake Milton in a little bit, right?
Thank you. Guy with playoff experience.
Yeah. I'm like, I mean, why did they sign him to the team anyway? If you know, like,
it does it because I guess you have to like actually have your dick fall off in order to get playing time in a Tom Thibodeau offense. Also, speaking of dicks falling off,
wow.
Why can't we just say his penis or his testicles? Why are body part? Why are our groin genitalia forbidden? We have to lie? Right foot or sore groin or fucking inner thigh? Like, can't we just say he got hit in the penis? The way that I talk to my child, I'm like, it's okay to say penis, 3-year old. It's okay to say penis, Reggie Miller. It's okay. Like, we can just call. We can be like, he's out with a penis injury, and it will be. You're laughing, but I just don't understand. Like, where are we in the world? Or you can't just sore right foot or whatever. Like, what's happening? Like, it's just so dumb. And then they're sticking to it. It's just weird.
I'm 100% on your side. Unfortunately, we live in like we're going back to the 1940s, so you can't say those things.
It's crazy. Yeah. Like, it's so, and it's like all taboo and they're giggle, ha ha.
Right. Right.
Meanwhile, like Jalen Brunson's like showing us the outline of his entire cock with his hand. It's like so gross and graphic.
Wow, you were really paying attention, weren't you?
Did you not see that?
I didn't see that. No,
he was like,
I'm not watching that closely.
Double fisting his junk on the court. It's rough. And then Rick came over, rubbed it out for him.
Whoa.
Yeah, he put some Icy Hot on there. He's like, Jalen.
You got a real Brunson fetish here. Hate fetish.
Oh, dude. Don't get me started.
Oh, yeah, I don't have
or
to. You've already got yourself started.
Do get me started. Do get me started. I have a new nickname for him. You ready?
Wait, for which one? The dad or?
For Jalen.
Okay.
How about this? Trey Young Brunson.
You're so proud of that one.
Or just Traylon.
Oh, Traylon.
Motherfuckers, just Trey Young with a slightly better hair. And yet all of New York is like so on his jock. It's incredible. But
I mean,
yeah.
Listen, if that guy was on either of our teams, we would be too.
Yeah. I mean, I have to defend Joel Embiid all the time. Like, it's not my favorite person to watch play basketball, but I'm ride or die with the guy that fucking does the crotch chop and like hunts for fouls. Like, there's a lot of similarities between the two. So, but I still have to put up with the fucking Joel Embiid, you know, like I get it. Like, you don't get to just be Jalen Brunson and like that, like stop, like you can't talk bad about him. The guy fucking plays exactly like fucking Trae Young. He grabs people's arms to get fouls. He jumps back into players. He hits open shots. He's electric around the rim and three pointer. He's got the whole package. He's trailing Brunson.
I can't figure out how he makes all the shots when he drives to the basket. He gets.
He made so good at the open. The mid range is insane. It's turnaround.
There was one that was a
turnaround. Turner was right there.
He literally was underneath the basket and a layup. Didn't even get near the rim and just kind of like laid it up and like under three people. And I was like, how the fuck does he make these things?
I don't know. It's incredible. I think the turnaround shot is just insane.
Yeah, it's insane.
Like he just elevates and it's
he liquid. Doesn't miss.
Like there's no rim, or even when he does hit a fucking rim, it like
oh he gets the all he gets the roll.
He always gets the bounce.
I don't think I've ever seen a player get more love roll.
You can sit here and bitch about the refs, and I would just because like the refs are ruining things. I just wish the refs weren't a part of it.
It's
ruining everything.
Here's my takeaway on that. I think the Knicks are just smarter about knowing how to play to the refs. Like DiVincenzo.
It's not the Knicks' fault that they fucking, yeah, like, go ahead, finish.
Even DiVincenzo was like the one that was in the backcourt. Like he got the ball, he drove up and I don't remember exactly who was on his ass, and he just stopped, and the guy like ran right over the top of him and fell on top of him, and were like
he jumped in front of him on the backcourt. He literally like went underneath him.
Well, the guy
was in a full head of steam. Yes, he stopped, but he also went underneath him. It was pretty much bullshit.
I agree, and I feel like even the broadcast of the team was even like, are you not supposed to do that anymore? I feel like questioning.
They're like, well, it's just what it is.
Right.
Whatever. The Knicks are definitely getting more favorable calls, but that's not the Knicks' fault.
Because they're making a point of doing
that. Later, Josh Hart got called on some bullshit on an offensive rebound. Did not fucking touch him. Like, total flop. He got called on it. And I was like, well, you know, like,
it's going,
I guess there's one for the Pacers, but.
Yeah.
Game one is egregious. Like, that's insane. Game two, calling a double dribble and then just being like, just kidding, was a little weird. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, but I don't understand that one because I you can take back calls. You're going to be like,
so can't you take back a kickball?
Yeah. That one? Right. But that's the problem. It's like, they're just not consistent when across the board with this.
Yeah. The refereeing is just, like I said, like if it was it's not the Knicks' fault that the calls are going their way. So I don't think it's worth being mad at the Knicks, but it is. It's just another case of fucking playoff basketball being railroaded by the referees unnecessarily. The Knicks could win this outright. Game one, maybe not so much, but that game last night, like they came back, fought hard. They would have won that game.
Pacers have nothing, no one to blame but themselves for last night's game, for game two.
Yeah, game one, I disagree.
They were
game
up.
Game one, they got fucked.
Brunson was out.
They're up. It was bad. Brunson was out. They went up, and then they went away from, like, TJ McConnell was definitely doing a number on Brunson, and they went away from that. And that's just bad coaching,
right?
You know?
That's bad coaching. And I like Rick. I like Carlisle, but also him blaming the fucking like small market teams don't get a fucking chance. Like that's some fucking bullshit too.
Well, I mean, I think this one was pretty much decided. No one wants to watch Boston fucking Indiana. They want to see Boston New York. You know.
Sure.
It's just a much more marketable game.
Totally.
That's the nature of all of this. They changed the rules in the middle of the season because the fucking TV was like, these games suck.
Yeah,
like,
but
make them close.
But,
TV controls all of it. This is what we watch. This is the NBA. They're in the middle of fucking television negotiations. They're going to try to produce the best fucking product with the highest amount of ratings for the most leverage, and they go into fucking contract negotiations at the end of the season.
We know what
we're getting ourselves into.
No.
You don't. I disagree.
No, because Denver would be up 2-0 then under your theory.
They're both small market, and
Minnesota is a small market. They're playing their asses off and winning that series. Like the refs aren't favoring Minnesota. Like same with OKC and Dallas. I mean, I think, you know, like you can see these potentially in some series, but it's disproven in other series. Like that just doesn't make any sense.
You think it's all on the level?
I think it's for the most. I think it's just bad refereeing. I think it's bad refereeing. And then this fucking country and the people in this country always try to look for some hidden message in everything, like some conspiracy theory and everything.
Yeah, I'm looking for the hidden message.
Like it's not.
I think they changed the rules in the middle of the season because they wanted to appease the television.
Like the Pacers shouldn't have beat Milwaukee in the first round then if they wanted like a better matchup in a series.
That's true.
Like, it's just like, sometimes you get like, I think there's at least 50% of the refs are just terrible at their job and they shouldn't be, you know, but you can't not have them all not in the playoffs, 'cause you need refs, you know, you need too many refs in the playoffs. So some of those guys that are absolutely fucking atrocious get jobs in the playoffs.
I just think I sometimes don't even know what the rules are.
No, nobody does. I don't know what a fucking, I don't know what half the rules are anymore. I don't know what a charge is anymore. Like, if you can plant one leg, but you're sort of.
I don't know what a defensive foul is when both players are running towards each other and the offensive player initiates contact with the other player's running with them. That's a defensive foul. Like, how do you guard somebody going to the hoop?
That's the problem, is because they sort of give the benefit of the doubt to the offensive players because they want offense.
Right, but then just don't call anything. That's the thing, is like why are they calling these, like,
right?
And when both players are in the air, both players are running.
Yeah.
To initiate, the offense initiates contact, and then the defense gets called on it. It's weird. That's where I'm just like,
DiVincenzo totally like pushed off on an inbounds play to get himself open, and there was like that. Well, I was like, that should totally be an offensive foul. You can't just push off. Like, extended arms. Like, it was like, this is just stupid.
Yeah, but then the only way to get that call on the other side is to flop, which is something they don't want you to do, and I don't want to see either.
Well,
so it's,
well, that's a good point, because there was Hart pushed Halliburton in the back as he was like across the half court and into the 3-point line. And he totally just pushed him in the back and shoved him. If Halliburton stayed on his feet, he maybe tripped for like 2 steps and then kind of caught himself and kept playing. If he flopped and went down, that would have been a call. That would have been a foul called. Right. And so that's sort of the problem, is that the Knicks are playing up the fouls and playing towards the refs, whereas the Pacers are just trying to play basketball.
I don't like that either.
I agree with you. I think it's terrible, but it becomes subjective.
The neck flip back shit that Jalen Brunson does all the time.
Yeah.
Every fucking possession.
Right. He stops and
the head snap back shit.
Right.
It's just like, no, just like every time he goes up, his head comes back as though he's been hit.
And I feel like
I don't even think he knows he does it anymore. I think it's just part of his regular dribble motion.
Probably. And I feel like DiVincenzo's doing it now. He's kind of learning from him. I feel like the Knicks are sort of taking a page from Brunson and playing that way for a lot of things.
Well, they're the Heat. They're just becoming the Heat. Yeah. They're doing the Heat song.
Yeah.
They're into the Heat song. guess how much a ticket cost? The cheapest ticket, courtesy of one of our newer statisticians. The cheapest ticket for Game 5 at Madison Square Garden is?
It's $5,000?
Cheapest ticket is $450.
What? That's crazy. There's fucking Caitlin Clark games that aren't under thousands of under like $1,000 or $2,000 for some.
It's $450. You can make it. You could do it.
That's cheap as shit, man.
Still get in there for $450.
I'm surprised.
The nosebleeds.
I'm surprised.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So let's go. May the guy in my building, he's probably not going to go back because he doesn't remember players on the team. So we'll see, you know, see if Fat Joe can dress like the fucking Great Pumpkin again.
I totally didn't see him, so I didn't know what you were talking about on that one.
It's a giant orange ball on the sidelines. Impossible to miss. Literally looks like a pumpkin.
Chris, do you care about the MVP voting this year?
Like, who got votes?
Yeah, I guess, or that, you know, Jokic won. Normally, you usually have opinion about this every year, so I'm just asking.
I don't like, I think that, like, some of the best players didn't get a chance to be a part of the voting because of the minutes restriction.
Sure, right.
Which is whatever. Do whatever you got to do. Did Jokic, I don't even know what the most valuable player, we're learning that, like, Anthony Edwards was the most valuable player. That guy got like one fucking first place vote.
Or
like,
honestly, Jalen Brunson is kind of the most valuable player because they were absolutely atrocious with him off the
great
court.
Great call. Great call. What do you like? What is, should MVP voting happen after the season's over? Like,
no.
Should it just, like, I.
No, I don't think you should include the playoffs.
So Jokic.
Yeah, oh, I don't really care.
I hope he just wins all of them.
I'm a little surprised. I normally don't care. I'm a little surprised it wasn't closer. So the total points.
Luka was going to be second. I didn't realize Shea was going to. I really didn't think people were going to vote for Shea second.
Oh, interesting. I see. I kind of thought more people would kind of give him some.
So what were the votes? Sorry.
So it was like he won by almost 300 points difference. Like, so it wasn't even close. And Luka was third, and he was like, he had he was about 80 points off of Shea, who was second. And, Brunson was fifth, and Anthony Edwards was seventh, which I was a little surprised on, too. Like, I thought they would have gotten maybe some more love there, too. But maybe, like, next year they'll probably will, because everyone's always, like, reactionary after the fact.
Well, it'd be hard for Jokic to win another one if it goes down in the second round.
I don't think he'll win another one.
That's just a fact of the matter.
Yeah, I don't think he'll win another one.
He might just retire. Who fucking knows?
He might.
I think
this is sort of the dawn of the young players now. Like, they're going to get... All the young players now are going to step up, will sort of become the stars and the superstars of the league. And I think there'll be a shift here now in like these sort of votings and stuff.
It'll be like the Olympics is the death mm-hmm. knell of the Steph LeBron mm-hmm. era.
Right.
It'll be the passing of the guard. Mm-hmm. Time for the Christian Leitners to come and change the league.
Oh yeah. Who is the next great white hope?
The next great American white hope.
Sure. Or I don't know. Just white. I mean, I think we don't have any Americans.
So what about this Edie guy? He's pretty white. Is he?
Oh, if he gets a fucking spot on the Olympic team, I'm going to fucking
scream. Why not? Leitner did.
Yeah, exactly. That's the point. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do they still do that? Do they still give college guys?
No, like, I don't think so.
I don't think they do that anymore.
I think they realized that was a bad idea the first time.
Yeah, with Zoe?
No, with Leitner.
Wasn't it Leitner and Zoe? Didn't they do two?
No, I think it was just Leitner.
It was just Cristoia, Coach K's guy.
Yeah,
it was
But that was before Coach K, though, so.
Wasn't Coach K like
I don't think he was an assistant coach on those teams.
Oh, really? I thought he was.
I think so. Was Bobby Knight there? I think Bobby Knight was the head coach.
Ew, really?
It might have been, yeah.
Of the Dream Team?
It was Chuck Daly. It was Chuck Daly.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's Chuck Daly. That makes sense because he's Jerry Colangelo's butt buddy.
I mean, maybe Coach K was on the... I bet you he was.
He
probably was. You're probably right. Yeah.
Anyway, that's either here or there. I'm not that, I mean, whatever. MVP voting, sure. Who cares? Okay. Anyway, you got here Bill Simmons stills NBA takes.
Oh, so apparently he put out another terrible pod about Dembele NBA ideas and thoughts, and he had some dumbass guy named Ethan Strauss.
Okay.
On the pod.
Change
the names of the WNBA teams because they're too confusing and they should just make them into the
men's teams names.
Yes, even though like half the league doesn't have a corresponding
name. It's what they need. Like, right. Thankfully, there's just some guys out there that Simmons is great at being like, you know, back when I used to tease the WNBA, now I take it so seriously. Like, before. You weren't taking it seriously last year. Your prediction that like Caitlin Clark, you just don't know any of the history. You don't know any of the players. And like, you're just talking at a turn. You're making this, it's like cringy now.
Well,
this is not gatekeepery. It's just cringe. Like to listen to those two fucking go. I mean, I got pretty bored right away and I get a little anxious when I listen to anyone talk about women's basketball since the Caitlin Clark like interview.
Yeah, it's just insane that like, and this is what I like about this. So I didn't even listen to the podcast. I saw like a little blurb about, so I don't even know like what the full conversation was. But you know, they're like, yeah, they want their idea is to like change the team names and this whole stupid thing because they can't keep track because they can know hundreds, if not thousands, of team names from college to pros, you know, and cities and former coaches and like they can all the records and stuff. But God forbid that they learn 12 new team names for the WNBA.
They're not even new.
Right. They're not, no, but new to them. You know, God forbid they learned 12 new teams.
They were like also complaining that like the WNBA packages the NBA in their TV deals so that like the WNBA has to be a part of like these because they're a part of the league.
Yeah.
You know, like
they're part of the league.
The women's, part of the league. They're pretty up in arms about that.
Of course they are. Of course they are. So anyway. There was a whole social media thing about this, about the calling, you know, Bill Simmons out and stuff. And then other people sort of piled on and they all brought receipts, Chris. And it was all like his old like page two columns about how he was just bagging on the WNBA and how they're not, there's no sex appeal or there's no interest. I don't want to see all these people. And I don't want to see Sue Bird on a court, but I'd love to see her in a dress at like some gala or something. Yeah.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. There's a lot of fucking receipts back in the day about him, you know, just shitting on the WNBA. Should have
stayed in his fucking lane, man.
Yeah. Let's see if he can weasel his way out of this one.
Yeah, he tried to, but he tried to like precurse it and be like, back when I used to tease the WNBA, but now I take it seriously. Right. That's like his.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know I'm being called the WNBA gatekeeper, but it is fun to watch him take a shit all over him down his leg.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah.
It's we are different people then, you know?
Sure.
It's before you had a daughter, maybe. I don't know. I'll be forgiving. Whatever. If he's genuinely interested in the WNBA and those are like his thoughts from the past and he's committed to like giving this league a fair shot or the same amount of attention that he gives to every other sport
he
and
won't.
Maybe even have a WNBA podcast on his channel for
he
a
won't.
Change.
He won't. He just he'll then, just talk
then
about
it'd, then it'd be different. But like he's got 27 NBA things. He thinks he and Russello like invented basketball and Anthony Edwards. Like they are like the it's just whatever. Yeah. He's just old. He just got old.
Right. He's old and all he does is just bitch and complain about everything.
Yeah, he's just got old.
And then he always tries to change the narrative. You know, like he always is like,
oh, for sure.
Right?
Like
he's like, oh, I was always a fan of WNBA. I always knew this was going to be like great or something. And it's like, yeah, bro, you're not, you can't rewrite fucking history.
Yeah, you can't.
Two more things starting in WNBA. One of them, the charter flights, I think is just a fucking, all of a sudden, like now you're going to start doing charter flights. Like just because Caitlin,
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. So WNBA announced like, starting this year, at some point, they're working on a plan to like all flights will be charters, private flights. And now it's like, oh, now because you got one person who's fucking shining a light on all this, and because now you got reporters following Caitlin Clark around, even though like, you know, like Brittany Griner went through a whole lot worse shit. And that, you know, she kind of got special exemptions last year to do some private flying, I think, and stuff, so people wouldn't be harassing her and hassling her and stuff as she's going through airports. But now it happens one time to Caitlin Clark, and everyone's like, "Oh, let's just change. Let's get the whole league on charter flights now." And even though 4 or 5 years ago, the owner of the New York Liberty, who came in when he bought them and was like, "Hey, I've got a deal here in place that for 2 years now we can get all the charter flights we want." And the half the league was like, nope, we're not doing this. We don't want to do this. This isn't the right. We can't afford this. This is bullshit. The owner even flew his team out a couple times on private planes, unbeknownst to the league, I guess, or whatever, or not in conjunction with the league. And the league was debating with all the other owners was debating what the punishment should be. And
right.
They were either going to take away like years worth of draft picks,
yeah,
and or fold the New York Liberty as an organization as punishment. And they were like, nope, can't have this kind of nonsense and bullshit going on here. So we might just take away the whole organization from you and just cancel it out.
In fact, we might just cancel the entire league.
Yeah, because that would be in our best interest to do that instead. Yeah, instead of just giving these women charter fucking flights. Like, it's just, I don't understand, like, the like, I don't even know how to explain it.
Well, here's what I don't understand. Like, so there's clearly a lot of money. There's clearly a lot of WNBA fans who have money. There are business owners. There are people that like are invested in the WNBA. Why can't they just treat them like clubs and be like, all right, you know what? Our like charter flights are paid for by fucking Key Bank.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Like,
well, that's what they've been trying to do.
Put their name on the fucking on the planes, and that's a wrap.
That's what the Liberty owner did. He was like, "I got 2 years worth of charter flights because I've worked out a deal with like some sponsorship."
That's what I'm saying. But everyone should be able to do that. If the league's not willing to pay for it, then it should be allowed.
But it's not fair, Chris, because not everybody can do that.
But fuck them.
I know.
Who cares?
It's bullshit. Because
the league should have to pick it up.
Yeah. Exactly. But now all of a sudden, like now they've got enough interest and money coming in, I guess, now that they can afford to do this all of a sudden.
This is a lot riding on Caitlin Clark. I get a little nervous for her.
I do too.
Like there's so much riding on her and the interest, like the league. Like the league was ticking up. This is a progression, and definitely she's changed a lot of things in a short amount of time.
But this is a huge
interest
leap.
In particular. Mm-hmm. But like, it's kind of like, I kind of wish she was like not in the league like until next year, you know. I'd like to see what like the newcomers, the Angel Reese's and stuff, could do to elevate the league one more year, another year. Fucking.
Unfortunately, it's not. Know? It wouldn't be enough. It's because of Caitlin Clark effect, and it's just the truth of it. Like,
I know
it's sad.
Just feels like a lot. It feels like a lot, right?
It feels like. Although I will say, like, someone asked her about this question about charter flights now, and she really gave a great answer. I thought. And it was basically saying like, hey, listen, you're like, I don't really care. It's not, you know, it's not about me, but it's about all these other veterans and all these people who've been playing this league for years, finally now get a chance to fly this way and get this kind of a, you know, nice thing for them. And she's like, I'm just happy for all of them to sort of, you know, be able to get this now and stuff too. So like, she does handle this very well and stuff. And like, and unfortunately, like if this was just Angel Reese, and or I don't know who else like would have been the first overall pick if it was Caitlin Clark, but Cameron Brinks, even like they wouldn't have responded. Not them personally. I don't think the league would have responded, and the interest wouldn't have responded in the way that has now. Then, and that's fine.
I guess it would have just liked to have seen like one more year of momentum, just natural, outside of like the most anticipated college basketball player.
I'd rather them take these giant leaps like this because it's for the betterment of the league itself and the players.
I hope you're right. Yeah. I just don't want there to be like a hangover effect. That's my fear.
I know what you're saying. I think hopefully we're it's all kind of pointing in the right direction.
Well, we've got Jason Sudeikis to thank for that.
Say one last thing
about Jason Sudeikis. That guy is a tried and true WNBA fan. I like him.
Yeah, man. Yeah. You know, listen,
he's an OG. I like that guy.
It doesn't feel forced either.
Acting or his personality, but I like him as a fan.
There you go. Yeah. One more last thing, Chris. We only got a couple minutes less.
3 minutes.
Candace Parker is the new president of Adidas women's basketball shoes.
That's a long time coming. That's exciting.
I think it's incredible. And it's maybe one of the reasons why she was able to retire. Yeah. Is that she had like this next step already locked in. And I think it's just it's incredible.
The shoe market is, I mean, it's great for her. Adidas is a little slow to the women's shoe market, considering they have women's shoes in so many other aspects. But basketball, you know, they've always been a little slow to respond.
But again, I think they're jumping into this, you know, now too. I think they signed Angel Reese.
I think it's the Ionescu effect. Mm-hmm. The fact that NBA players were wearing her shoes and it wasn't just laughed off the court, yep. like NBA players wearing WNBA shoes, like or WNBA player shoes, was the thing that brands needed to see,
right?
That it wasn't just going to be treated as a novelty, yeah. But like it's actually treated as like an athletic wear. And now that, so that to me, that's, yes, it's a Caitlin Clark effect, but I think actually it's Ionescu that like kind of maybe changed the game in on a shoe level.
I think you're right. I think I totally right. Cause I there was at least half a dozen to a dozen players, I think, in the last year or two that are wearing her shoes.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. And like I even read recently, someone was like, they're actually like great shoes. They're like, they're the most comfortable shoes I've ever worn and stuff. So like, it's not just even like a gimmicky shoe. Like they're actually like, apparently they're like a well-made good shoe and stuff too, which, you know, like let's get another one there with like, you know, Asia Wilson or somebody else and get, yeah, yeah, you know, a few more in this. And like, I think Angel Reese just signed with Adidas. So maybe she'll get a shoe here soon.
I hope so. Did you see that they didn't televise her first game as a Sky and somebody just live streamed it and got 400,000 viewers? Is that true?
I don't know. I because they don't do preseason games. I don't think they broadcast preseason games. But yeah, I feel like there. I saw something about that too, where like you could actually watch the game somehow, which is incredible.
Pretty cool.
Really cool.
That's real. That's some real fan shit.
Some real fan shit. I want to see Bill Simmons fucking do that.
I know.
Yeah, wasn't he fucking stream some shit on his fucking Ringer fucking website?
I know. So, all right, are we done with this?
We got like a minute and a half here, so like I mean,
a minute and a half. We gotta just doobity boo. What you doing? How you feeling? You like any TV shows lately? I haven't seen anything great.
I haven't really been watching anything either. I don't think.
I was recommending the show Sugar to people before I had finished it.
Oh no!
Yeah, don't watch it.
Uh oh!
Don't watch it.
Is it bad?
It's great. It was really great. I like Colin Farrell
yeah.
a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fantastic film noir throwback detective show until the last 10 seconds ruin an entire season. And
was it like a big twist or something?
I feel like I have to write an open letter apology to all of the people I recommended the show to before I saw the last episode.
I feel like I read something that there's like a twist, a surprise, shocking twist or something.
It's a shocking twist. It's the weirdest. It's a nightmare shocking twist. It's just, it is offensively shocking.
Oh.
It's an offensive shocking twist.
Oh, wow.
To me, to my sensibilities as far as TV goes.
Oh, my. Wow.
I was just like, what? And Kristen was like, what? And I was like, oh.
All right, Chris, we gotta go.
All right, peace out.